Our Father and our God, we want to thank you because we went to bed last night and we are back up again, alive and well. We lifted our hands and we are able to move them. We got out of bed and we are able to see the light of the day. Father, this is your doing. And the only reason you have preserved our lives is so that we can serve you. My Father, my God, as we come together under the teaching of the Holy Spirit this morning, do something permanent in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, the words we are going to hear, they will not stand against us, but they will be a blessing to us in the mighty name of Jesus. As we hear these words, we are going to run with them, and we are going to make them practical in our lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. For some weeks now, we've been talking about evangelism. And we have taken it upon ourselves to look at the different methods. The different methods of evangelism. How many of us can remind us of the methods we have already considered? I know we have looked at two. How many of us will remind us of those two we have talked about? Praise the Lord. So we have looked at sharing our testimony. Remember that the wisest man cannot dispute your experience. Your experience is your experience. Nobody can dispute that, no matter how knowledgeable they may be. That is what you have experienced. So we say we use our testimony as a tool for evangelism. What is the second one we looked at? What is the second one we looked at? That was last week. Yes. We looked at testimony the other week, and last week we looked at another method of evangelism. We talked about interpersonal, using our relationship as an evangelization tool. Praise the Lord. And one of the things we said is that there is no relationship we enter into that leaves us the same, whether we like it or not. In the same vein, when we meet people, we have to try not to leave them the same. We must not be like people who punch or box the ear. So every relationship we have must be Christ-based, because there is no other foundation that any man can lay than that was laid, which is Jesus Christ. And also we went ahead and talked about some of the pitfalls of modern relationships that we need to be aware of. And we talked about how to overcome some of these pitfalls. And that includes introducing them to the Word of God early and let them know who we are, that our principles and our attitude towards life derives from the Word of God, so that there's no misunderstanding about who we are or, you know, the style of relationship we want to forge with somebody. And I remember I also said that as much as possible, if you are going to form that kind of relationship, I told us that it is not a relationship, it's not a short time venture. So we require patience. Praise the Lord. And I said, look, if you are going to form that kind of relationship, which can be anywhere, that we need to be careful as much as possible to form that kind of relationship with people of the same sex. And that if you are married, as soon as you are developing that kind of relationship, using your relationship to lead somebody to Christ, let your spouse know about it. Praise the Lord. So it is very important. It's very important that we read these bulletins. You know, if it's possible, we can make files. You know those files? You just punch holes. They are A4 papers. When you unfold them, these bulletins are A4 papers. You just unfold them and put them in a file. And you can go through some of the teachings, pending the time that we're going to have them, have all the teachings on our website for you to be able to download. So we are looking at evangelism by invitation. One of the things that will readily come to our mind as we look at these different methods is that there is no excuse whatsoever for any child of God to say that I am not equipped for what? For evangelism. Is there any excuse? You may say, like Moses, I'm a stammerer. I don't know how to talk. But you can invite somebody. It's that simple. You can invite somebody somewhere. And that's what we are going to be looking at this morning. The least you can do is to at least invite somebody. That is the least that we can do. You don't need special training to invite somebody. And that's what we are going to be looking at this morning. Romans chapter 1 verse 20. Romans 1:20 tells us something. It's basically telling us that there is really no excuse because our evangelization tool is all over the place. He said, forever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, that is God's invisible nature and attributes, that is his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, his handiworks. So men are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification. So altogether, every one of us, we have no defense or justification. There are enough materials in your environment to point to the glory of God, to point to his majesty, to point to his power, to point to the fact that he remains supreme, to point to the fact that he is the one to be worshipped, to point to the fact that he created the heavens and the earth and that he will bring an end to it. You know, everything about us, everything around us points to the glory and the power of God. So there is no excuse for us not to be able to witness Christ to somebody. Let's quickly look at our text for this morning, which is taken from John chapter 4, verse 3 to 43. It's a very, very lengthy reading. Maybe what I will do is to start somewhere in verse 28. John chapter 4. I'll just start somewhere in verse 28 because it's a very lengthy reading. And I'm sure many of us are familiar with the story of this woman. I'm going to paraphrase it after I've read from verse 28. He said, then the woman left her water jar and went away to the town. And she began telling the people. What did she do? She began doing what? Telling the people. She left her water jar and went to the town, and she began telling the people. Now, hear what she told the people. Come. Everybody say, come. Come. See a man who has told me everything that I ever did. Can this be? Is not this the Christ? Must not this be the Messiah, the anointed one? So the people left the town and set out to go to him. I think I'll just leave it there and not read the others. What did she do? She went there and said, come. In other words, follow me. She invited them and said, come. I've met a man who told me everything about my life. Is this not the Christ? Is it not likely to be the prophet we're expecting? You and I can also say to somebody, come. It's so easy. Come. In other words, come with me. Because I have been to a place where I learned something. I have been to a place where I received a miracle. I have been to a place where I have been touched. I have been to a place where my life has become different. Come. The power of God is in that place. The power of God comes in that place. Join me. And the Bible said the people did what? They followed. In fact, I think that's just the simplest. If you are too embarrassed to talk about Jesus Christ, you can at least say, come. I'm not the one who's going to talk about him. You would think in your heart, I'm not the one who's going to. Come, just follow me. Let's go to a place where you hear what has happened to my life. If you link that with the first teaching we had on testimony. So you just say, come, I have a testimony. Let's go to a place where I've met somebody that made this testimony possible in my life. That is evangelism by what? Invitation. It's so simple. Where are you going to invite them to? Where are you going to invite people to? I have here any gathering lending itself to having children of God give testimony of their encounter with God or tell about the difference he has made to their lives is worth inviting people to. In other words, why don't you arrange lunch, dinner, with children of God, and then invite somebody to join in and let them listen to the kind of conversation you have and let them listen to the journey of their lives, where they started from, where they are now, and where they hope to be going. Tell somebody to come and hear the story of other people's lives. What about birthdays? Even in your house. Invite children of God to it. Invite others to it. Instead of making it just form fear for the world, make it a place where testimony will be shared. Where the words of God will be shared. If you are feeling embarrassed, after all, you are not the one who is going to do the talking. Right? You won't be the one doing the talking. All that will happen is that they will have an opportunity to hear someone else talk about their own lives. You will see what happened here. When this woman had invited the people, They came along, which is what I'm asking you to do now. When you have your house warming, Thanksgiving services, if there are special programs in the church, normal Sunday services, and places of special miracles, when you invite somebody to eat, look at what's going to happen. Look at verse 39 in John chapter 4. It says, now numerous Samaritans from that town believed in and trusted in him because of what the woman said when she declared and testified, he told me everything that I ever did. So when the Samaritans arrived, they asked him to remain with them, and he did stay there 2 days. Many believed. And when they now heard from the mouth of Jesus, verse 42, and they told the woman, now we no longer believe, trust, have faith, just because of what you said, for we have heard him ourselves personally, and we know that he truly is the Savior of the world, the Christ. So she did invite them. They came to a place where they heard of him, and it became their own personal experience. And they said, look, our belief is no longer based on just what you said. We have encountered him. Everyone who will take a step of faith this morning to follow this teaching, to invite somebody to a place where Jesus is being glorified, I want to let you know that God will not only be with you, he will glorify himself in your life in Jesus' name. If the people had come and they had not met it so, they would have been disappointed. But when you take time to invite somebody to come, I want to assure you that the people will meet it so. Whatever you say God is in your life, people will meet it so, and God will even show himself more than what you have described him to be. So that the people concerned will testify that indeed he is God. Your role is just to invite somebody. The other thing I want us to be aware is this. You probably don't know that the world wants to own what you have. The world. They do what? They want to own what you have. Some of them cannot openly tell you that what they see in your life, they really like it. But I'm telling you, they do want to own the kind of things you have in your life. And we need to give them that opportunity. How do I know this? I know this because I've seen it happen before. Go to the book of John, chapter 3. If you read from verse 1 to 21, we are not going to read the whole of that verse. The whole of that chapter, I'll just read part of it. He said, now, there was a certain man among the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler, a leader, an authority among the Jews, who came to Jesus at night. When did he come to Jesus? When did he come to Jesus? He was a man who was what? A Pharisee. If there was any group that Jesus battled with the most, who are they? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. Yet, in that group, he had what? An admirer. In the group of the camp of the enemies, what did he have? Jesus had an admirer. Let me tell you something. Even among the people who are so-called your sworn enemies, you have admirers. There are people who admire what is happening in your life. They cannot openly come and ask you What is the secret of your life? Nicodemus could not openly come and declare the lordship of Jesus. What did he do? He sneaked and went to Jesus at what time? By night. So there are people who want to know what is making you tick. He said, we know and are certain that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs, these wonder works, these miracles, and produce the proofs that you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus did not come in and say, I know. Did he say that? What did he say? He said, we know. He said, we, our group, our association, our clique, me and my friends, we all know. Right? So in other words, we know what is happening despite our opposition to you. You think we don't know? We know. That's what he came to tell Jesus. He said, we all know that nobody can do the kind of things you do except God be with him. In other words, your life cannot be the way it is. How you have survived all the trappings. How we have planned against you, yet you escape. How God has been promoting you. How you've been joyful in the face of all this opposition. How you've made it. Don't you think we know? We know that you are not doing it by your own power. We know that God is with you. But you know what? Like I said, Nicodemus could not do it openly. He did it by stealth. So when you invite people, you give them that opportunity. You give them that opportunity to do what? To express the lordship of Jesus. Invite somebody. Those of us who did a bit of economics, now, I only did it in year 10, praise the Lord. But I can remember one thing in economics, that a major factor that drives demand, any student of economics here can please correct me. A major factor that drives demand is what? Supply. So, in other words, if you make the name of Jesus out there and you fill the air, because he said the knowledge of God shall fill what? Shall fill the earth. If you make the word of God fill the earth, bring people to that place, saturate their lives, that is what they are going to be asking for. That's what they are going to be demanding. It's been tested over and over again that one major way to control alcohol and drug supply, to reduce demand of alcohol and drug is to limit the supply. It's not the only way, but it's one of the most effective ways. First of all, it's going to drive off the market so that only those who, when the supply is limited, only those who really have the money will be able to buy it. Again, it is possible that people will become, they will do anything to get it. But if you really, really snuff life out of the source of supply, you will have better control. I'll give us an example of many places. I think Australia is one. When I came in 1997, that was when the Howard government was still doing was still into the gun buyback after the Port Arthur massacre, right? And it's been shown that in every country where they have reduced arms, death by guns have reduced. So in other words, supply is a good way to control demand. Supply people with the word of God. Supply people with the opportunity to hear the word. And you will see what will happen in their lives. Because we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And of course, this invitation must be prayerfully done. So why do you have to invite people? The first thing is that it is God's way of doing things. He himself invites people. He himself does what? He invites people. Can somebody quickly open to Isaiah chapter 55? Isaiah 55 verse 1 to 7. He said, wait and listen, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. Simply for what? The self-surrender that accepts the blessing. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for what does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, the profuseness of spiritual joy. Incline your ears, submit and consent to the divine will, and come to me. Hear, and your soul will revive, and I will make an everlasting covenant or league with you, even the sure mercy, kindness, goodwill, and compassion promised to David. Behold, I appointed him, David, as a representative of the Messiah, or the Messiah himself, to be a witness, one who shall testify of salvation to the nation, a prince and commander to the peoples. Behold, you Israel shall call nations that you know not, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek, inquire for, and require the Lord while he may be found, claiming him by necessity and by right. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have love, pity, and mercy for him, and to our God, for he will multiply to him his abundant pardon. God himself shows us how to invite people. He said, he tells them to come. He said, yes, come, buy. He invites people. In the same Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 to 20, he invites the people. He said, come, let us reason together. He said, come. He said, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. God also invites people. He doesn't just bump into people and take over their lives. And that is why he's using you and I as instruments of that invitation. In Revelation 3:20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and opens the door of his heart, I will come in and do what? And sup with him. In other words, if anyone invites me into their lives, I will be part of their lives. God comes by invitation. Otherwise, he will stay out there and be watching. Even in the situations of our lives, if you look at Proverbs chapter 3, 5 to 7, the situations of our lives, if we don't invite God into it, God will be looking at us. He wants you to invite him to the situations of your lives. He wants you to invite others to. Just like he has invited you. He wants to have opportunity to meet salvation needs. That's Isaiah 55:7. He also wants to meet welfare needs, loneliness, emptiness, other emotional needs, material needs. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. He wants to meet the needs of the people. Invite them. Let them come. So that they can have an encounter with him. Also, God wants to give man the real perspective and insight into the events and experiences of human life. Most of us don't really have, we don't know what is going on, except the Spirit of God reveals to us. Let me tell you something. What you know is what people tell you or what you can see. How many times have you, after you've made inquiries, maybe it's only my line of work, after you've made inquiries, you then find out that what is actually underlying the whole situation is much bigger than you thought. The line of work where, that I do, you see people coming who will complain about their spouse over time, how terrible their spouse is. In fact, they tell you, I'm suspecting, he's looking like he's been touching our daughter. He's been doing this, he's been doing that, he's been doing this, he's been doing that. And you set out to investigate. You later realize that the woman wants to fight for divorce. And then the next thing is going to happen is that she's going to be laying claims on the kids so that the husband will not have access to the kids. So she will have built up a case. If you have not learned to see beyond what's going on, you just become an instrument in a family dispute. It's the same thing. There's something more to life than what we see. And the only way we can see that which is more to life than the ordinary things that are available to everybody is when we come to know God and become acquainted and open to the power of His Holy Spirit. Because no one knows the mind of man but the Spirit of man. So also, no one knows the mind of God except the Spirit of God. People need to develop another perspective on life. So who can you invite? I will close soon. Remember, we are sent to all people. He said, for all have sinned and done what? Come short of the glory of God. All. So we are sent to all people. Sometimes we may need to invite people with specific needs for healing, job, fruit of the womb, emotional difficulties, spiritual afflictions, problems in marriages, and problems with children. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 4, Naaman had a specific need. He had leprosy. And the maid in his house spoke to somebody about what could happen. So when we know people who have specific needs and we believe that God can do it for them, invite them to a place where children of God are meeting. When they witness the power of God with their mouths, they will confess that Jesus is Lord. Invite people in search of answers to the fundamental questions of life. There are people out there who are confused. They say, why are we on earth? Why was the earth created? Who created the earth? What is death? Where are we going? What is life after death? There are people asking a lot of questions. Can somebody please quickly open to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15? There are people asking a lot of questions. They are also asking questions about you. So invite them. Invite such people. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. He said, but in your heart, set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you. But do it courteously and respectfully. be ready to give a logical explanation. In other words, the God we serve is the explanation to the questions of the mind of people. In fact, there is a branch of psychotherapy that deals with what we call existentialism. People who have troubles understanding the questions of life. There are a lot of people who are confused out there. And I've spoken to a lot of people. They cannot see meaning. They don't have meaning in life. Can you invite them, please? These are people we need to invite. And then sometimes God can specifically and specially send you to somebody. Remember Philip's in Acts 8. He was sent to the Ethiopian eunuch. So please, these are the people to invite. The last point I want to make here, the others you can read yourself, is how to invite. As soon as you get a nudge in your interaction with somebody, please don't waste time to invite them. It may not be, you may not be here. It may not be our church. Please invite them to where they can hear the word of God. It's so important. As soon as God gives you a nudge, because this person may not have a second chance in life. I want you to open with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 21, verse 8. And we will close this Sunday school. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 21, verse 8. I want us to take something from there. David said to Ahimelech, "Do you have at hand a sword or spear?" Look at the last sentence in the next sentence there. The king's business required haste. The king's business requires what? Haste. How I wish that God will open our eyes. Honestly, we will realize that the king's business requires haste. And if the king's business requires haste, we will not be treating it with levity. In fact, as we hear these words, we'll make sure we follow through. As soon as God asks us to do something in the church, we will run for it. It's because we don't have the knowledge that the king's business requires haste. That is why when they say, "Oh, please, brother, can you serve in this place?" Say, "You see, let me think about it." You say, I want to think about it. Let me discuss it with my wife. Let me tell my extended family. I'm telling you, the king's business requires what? It requires haste. The opportunity may never come again. In fact, if you don't do it at that time, you may do it and never get the reward again. You may end up doing it, but the reward will not be recorded for you, because you have not done it on time. And in what? And in faith. You've heard the word this morning. And I just pray that God will reveal himself to us more and more. Please, I don't want us to throw this away. Can we just go and look at it? You know, by the grace of God, they've been carefully compiled. They've been carefully compiled. Remember that the king's business requires what? Haste. There's no procrastination. There's no postponement. It requires haste. you will not miss your opportunity in life in Jesus' name. I say you will not miss your opportunity in life in Jesus' name. When God chooses to position you, everything you imagine, everything you think is a big achievement now, will pale into insignificance compared to what God will do in your life. If only we will release ourselves. I don't know why I'm saying this morning, but I just want you to know that the king's business required haste. As soon as we hear, let's be quick to do what? To obey. Can we rise up and pray, please? Can you just speak to the Lord this morning? Say, Father, I've heard your word. I've heard that the king's business requires haste, even in this particular situation, that your business requires haste. Father, equip me. Even as you equip me, Lord, give me the courage to go all out for you in Jesus' name. Can you pray to the Lord? Father, equip me. As you equip me, give me the courage to go all out for you in your name, in Jesus' name. That I can go out without any hindrance, without any let. When God says it is time to do this, I will do it on time. When God says it's time to invite people, I'm going to invite people. When God says minister to this person, I'm going to minister to them. Not counting whether people look at me as being awkward or being, you know, of being out of place or being different, Lord Jesus, because I've heard that your business requires haste this morning. My Father, my God, I want to obey you on time, obey you on time, obey you in the right place and at the right time and for the right reason in the mighty name of Jesus. Paul said, after he encountered Jesus Christ, He said, I conferred with nobody. I conferred with nobody. He simply went and did it. This morning, you are not going to confer with anyone. You are not going to confer with any spirit. Only the Spirit of God will lead you in the mighty name of Jesus. As you do it in faith, the reward of faithfulness will be your portion in Jesus' name. I said the reward of faithfulness will be your portion in Jesus' name. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's be in the mood of worship. Let's begin to praise the name of the Lord. Let's begin to appreciate his holy name. Let's begin to thank him for bringing us to this hour. My body